welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. Today's December 13th. I forgot to do that at the beginning. I know sometimes we re-air this stuff and people want to know the context. So December 13th of 2020. We're almost done with 2020, which is noteworthy because
not soon enough.
I don't know of anybody's life that was improved by 2020. It was a huge pain for everyone on a multitude of levels. So anyway, my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
And our
sponsor.
And we have similar guns on our permits, just not to put too fine a point on it.
Let's just tell the whole world about that.
Yeah, well, that's a big deal there.
It's a bigger deal for you, but not for me. But
man, damn it.
Yeah.
Go and buy the guns, and it just seems so handy. Let Bill go get it.
Yeah. That's a problem. Yeah, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Go up and see them. They have they're getting a good inventory of John Deere tractors just for the end of the year. Great Christmas gift. Or go buy a new generator or steel power product. They've got it all in stock up there. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, right off I-5. Or give them a call at 226-9226.
And they're actually open. You don't have to make an appointment.
No.
Or do a Zoom call.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys aren't doing Zoom sales yet?
They do have their occupancy rating on the door, though.
Oh, in case there's like a mob scene at the tractor shop?
Yeah. Oh. Just please, people, stand back, take a number. but yeah, go up and see them or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
So we were kind of laughing during the break a little bit, in a, I guess, a mean-spirited sort of way. Imagine that coming out of us. But we were sort of chuckling that talking about the Second Amendment and the rules in California is probably not doing a great deal of business for, you know, like U-Haul. We were kind of happy they weren't a sponsor or anything. Not that we'd be opposed to that, U-Haul. If you'd like to jump on board, we could shade things your way.
Yeah, speaking of that, just to kind of give you an idea of what's happening in California, if you did want to, say, move to Texas, go down and grab a U-Haul, because California to Texas, a 20-foot or 21-foot U-Haul will run you about $5,500. Now, if you're fed up with Texas and you want to come back to California,
or you live in Texas and you want to come visit relatives in California and you don't want to deal with the mask rules on the flights, you could just drive a U-Haul back.
That's right. And that would only cost you $1,600 to bring a big truck back to California.
Obviously,
so
it's more,
a little bit of discrepancy
more
there.
Outgoing. I don't know. Maybe we are helping U-Haul.
Yeah, could be.
Because it is more going out. But
yeah.
Yeah, still, what a nightmare. And there are other states who have laws, obviously gun laws. Some are not as restrictive as California, as we have learned from our guest, Mr. Peter Friedman. But, you know, bottom line is if you still have friends who think, or family, who think that, you know, guns in California are just everywhere, everyone can get them, the only people who can do that are criminals. And they've always been able to get guns.
You can tell is...
tattoos on their neck?
No, when they open the trunk of their car to show you the guns,
it's
probably illegal.
That's right. If there are no rules and the gun is being sold from the trunk, that's true. Yeah. And it's not in a locked case. Then you're probably into something hinky. So, Mr. Friedman, are we still on laws, or did we skip things in the home defense side of it that people need to know about?
Let me just tell you what happened to me this week, because I live about 100 yards away from my local gun shop where I helped put them in business 10 years ago.
Nice.
And I do the course for somebody, and then they go to pick up their firearm, and I go with them. I meet them over there at the gun shop, and to make sure that everything goes smoothly and they're complying with all the laws. Well, this week alone, I was over there 5 times. I was there with a guy with a truck, 2 minivans, and 2 SUVs. And in all of these 5 instances, they were about to transport the firearm that they had just purchased and putting it in their car and then going back home illegally.
Oops.
And here's why. Because when you go to 25610 and it says the firearm is within a motor vehicle and it's locked in the vehicle's trunk, and in these 5 cases, the vehicle did not have a trunk or a locked container within the vehicle. Now, the problem arises here when you buy a Glock or you buy a Taurus, or you buy a Smith & Wesson, they do not come in lockable boxes. In the case of the Smith and the Taurus, they're in cardboard cartons, which, of course, you can't lock. In the case of the Glock, they're in a hard plastic case, but there is no way to lock that case. SIG, on the other hand, does provide you with a plastic case that is, in fact, lockable. So if you take this section and you go back to 25400, you have five concealable firearms sitting here now in unlocked containers that are not actually sequestered in somebody's sedan trunk. And so what we had to do in each one of these cases was, in the case of the Glock, for example, they all come with a cable lock that uses a key. So we had to take the cable lock out of the box and then wrap the cable lock around the handle, the carrying handle for the case, and lock it that way so that they would be legal to get this firearm home. In the case of the Taurus and the Smith & Wesson, the Shield, which are not in lockable cases or not even in hard plastic cases, now they were required to go and buy a soft side bag, and you put a small TSA or luggage lock on the zipper of the bag in order to legally transport the firearm.
So they can't transport them with the cable lock that comes with them. That doesn't count. It has to be in a thing, in a...
Yes, I'm reading right here in the penal code.
Just a
firearm is locked in the vehicle's trunk or in a locked container in the vehicle.
So for the people who have been using a cable
lock. In the case of a revolver, swing the cylinder out, put the cable lock through one of the chambers. That's not in a locked container.
Which in,
even though the gun isn't usable,
when
it's technically
when
locked.
Compared to a soft side case, it's much more locked than in a soft side case. But that's not the law. So
again,
not
making
not
the law.
Not what the penal code says.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's another case of lawmakers not being familiar with guns, making the rules.
Well, now here's the other one. Let's say you do, in fact, have the firearm. Let me rephrase this. Let's say that you do not have it in a locked container, and you have an SUV, and you throw it in the back, and like a Taurus snub-nosed revolver, it's sitting there in a cardboard box. You're now going to be in violation of Penal Code 25612. Which says that a person shall, when leaving a handgun in an unattended vehicle, secure the handgun in the vehicle pursuant to Section 25140. So, in other words, on the way home from the gun shop, you stop at Safeway to go pick up a few items for dinner, and the gun now gets stolen out of the back of the car, or you get stopped for some reason after you leave Safeway. And here is this thing sitting in the back of the SUV, and the police officer says, why isn't this gun in a locked container? So what happens in California now, especially since that San Francisco thing with Kate Steinle,
right,
where the illegal grabbed the gun out of the
Park
police
Rangers.
Officer's vehicle, and then shot Kate Steinle down there on the Embarcadero. The law has since been changed as of January 1st, 2017, that it has to be in a locked container. If you have a permit, it can remain loaded. But if you do not have a permit, then it should be in a locked container, unloaded, and out of plain sight so that somebody looking through the window can't see the thing sitting there.
That makes sense.
If you go to the home defense and basic handgun PowerPoint, about a quarter of the way through there, we talk about soft side bags being locked. And then the next slide shows a metal gun vault which you can buy on Amazon for $20 now. You don't have to spend a lot of money, with a three-digit combo. And it's got a cable in it. It's about 3 feet long. And in our cars, we have now installed these boxes in there with the cable so that the box cannot be removed from the vehicle. But if I were to stop and pick up my grandkids, you know, I have to take the gun, put it in the box, make sure that it's properly locked before I go into the school to pick up the grandkids.
And I think the cable is a great idea, because just being in a locked box isn't going to stop it from being stolen, where the cable is going to make it just a little bit more difficult to get it out of the car.
Exactly.
All right, we've got to take a really quick break here at the first part of the hour. It always sneaks up on us fast. Our guest is Peter Friedman. You are listening to We the People, and you can join us at wethepeopleradio.us.
My friend, you're the low rider. The low rider is a little higher.
Go out across the evening water, smuggling guns and arms across the Spanish border. The wind whips up the waves so loud. The ghost moon sails among the clouds. Turns the rifles in the silver on the border.
Don't buy guns there either.
No.
That's another hot tip. All right, back to you, Mr. Friedman. I'm done screwing around. Well, maybe not. I'll just take a break. How's that?
No problem.
All right, so where do we go from here?
Okay, everybody right now is heading to their local range to practice, providing that they're open. And there is actually a penal code section on that, which is 25635. And it says that Section 25400, which is the violation of the concealed carry, does not apply to any member of a club or organization for the purpose of practicing shooting upon established, and that's a key word, established target ranges, whether public or private, while the members are using pistols, revolvers, or other firearms capable of being concealed upon the person, or transporting these firearms unloaded, again, as previously stated, in a locked container or in the trunk of a sedan, when going to and from the range. So I have a number of people that I work with doing concealed carry training here in the county, and it's necessary to explain to them this penal code section. All right, going to and from the range, and it has to be on an established range if you are going to practice concealed carry. Now, there's a whole lot of ranges. In fact, I've seen most of them that say that you can't carry a loaded firearm onto the range. If you're a permit holder, you have to unload the gun before you come onto the range. But then there are times when we do hold sanctioned, if you will, or scheduled CCW training, so that you are allowed at that point, undergoing training, to carry concealed and practice carrying concealed, wearing a coat or an ankle holster or whatever it happens to be. But when you go to that range and you return home from that range, the gun once again has to be unloaded and in a locked container or in the trunk of your car. So, okay, then this gets, okay, we good?
Yep,
we're good.
Yep.
Okay, then we go to the next one, which is Penal Code 25640. And everybody really is fascinated by this one. Section 25400 does not apply to licensed hunters or fishermen, and that means with a current license, not an expired license, licensed hunters or fishermen carrying pistols, revolvers, or other firearms capable of being concealed while engaged in hunting or fishing, or transporting those firearms unloaded when going to or returning from the hunting or fishing expedition. So if you've got a hunting license and you're out there in the woods and you are legally hunting with a current license, you may in fact carry a concealed firearm. Now, as soon as you get back to your car, you have to unload it, put it in the locked container, or put it in the trunk of the car if it's a sedan, and then move on from there. But while you are actually stalking through the woods, excuse me, you can carry a concealed firearm for your own protection. Excuse me. It's some of this stuff is really, really interesting, and people, you know, don't do the research.
Now, if you have a hunting license, you still cannot conceal carry to and from your hunt.
No.
Okay.
So, in other words, it's got to be in a locked container, unloaded. Pardon me. Got to be in a locked container, unloaded, until you get to where you park your car. Grab your rifle, grab your shotgun, and now you can load that handgun and conceal carry it while you are in the process of hunting or fishing.
Okay.
Lots of ways to get tripped up.
Oh, that's why it's really important if you're going to own a firearm and you are going to transport it or carry it somewhere like in your RV or in a tent at a campsite, other than just going to a range to go target shoot, you really got to be familiar with some of this stuff. And what's fascinating is that I've been through two sheriff's academies in my lifetime, and none of this was ever discussed during that time.
Well, I think too, in California, in the last, oh, let's say 15 years, gun laws have been, let's say, very fluid. I mean, they have made so many changes, and you know, laws have come in to be overthrown in the courts, to be reinstated on appeal, and I mean, it's very confusing. So it is very important that if you're going to own a firearm, particularly a handgun, do some homework.
This is absolutely true, especially now with the provisions that are currently in effect with high-capacity magazines. An interesting thing is that the Glock 19, for example, the standard magazine is 15 rounds. In California, you can't buy a Glock 19 that has a magazine over 10 rounds.
But you can own one. A 15.
Okay, here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Penal Code 12276. What it says today is that possession of a high-capacity magazine, meaning any magazine over 10 rounds, is not controlled. However, what is controlled is the buying, importation, building of from spare parts, lending, selling. You can't do that.
Right.
So essentially, when I run into people, and today there is a moratorium in effect by Judge Benitez from the Ninth Circuit, who put a moratorium on the prohibition of what are called standard magazines for the firearm, not necessarily just for California. But for example, if you have a Glock 19 that you purchased, let's say, outside of California, you brought it into California, and it has the standard magazine of 15 rounds, you possess it, okay, but you didn't get it by somebody who lent it to you. Essentially, you didn't purchase it in California. you know, and what I tell people who have older magazines and stuff, I found it up at the range in the trash. Possession is not controlled.
Right.
Only buying, lending, manufacturing, stuff like that. I always caution people, if you're going to the range, for example, with a Glock 19, take the 10-round magazine. Don't take the 15-round magazine if you have one, because the ATF very frequently has agents that, observe. And you can basically tell them because they're the only ones not shooting.
Right. But if you have it in your possession, what can they do?
Well, you don't want to be the test case where somebody comes up to you and says, how did you acquire that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
It might be within your rights, but defending it's going to cost you a lot of money.
It's going to cost you a lot of money. You got to come up with a lawyer, you know, and it's just, you know, don't do it.
Don't be confrontational. Just
don't. Exactly. How do you win a confrontation? By avoiding a confrontation.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, you know, I tell everybody I know
because,
who goes to the range with an AR-15, don't take the 30-round magazine with you. You know, you can do just as well with the 10-round magazine.
Well, even going to the range at all with your AR-15 nowadays is questionable unless you have to have that registered as an assault rifle in California now, don't you?
No. As a matter of fact, if it had any one of the six evil features on it, such as a grenade launcher or a suppressor, a collapsible stock, a vertical pistol grip, forward grip, or a pistol grip on the thing, there were these six evil features.
Oh, being a black gun isn't evil?
July 1st of 2018, if you were not going to remove those evil features, that was the last date by which you had to register it as an assault weapon with the state of California DOJ Bureau of Firearms. So very simply, all you got to do is modify them. I have modified hundreds of these things for people, making them California compliant. So you can either put a fixed stock on the gun, or you can take the collapsible stock and put a pop rivet in there, pinning it so that it won't collapse. You take off the flash hider on the front of the barrel, and for $20 you can put on what's called a muzzle brake. You take off the pistol grip, you put on a pistol grip that's got a fin on the back of it so you can't put your thumb around the grip. Just stupid. Just stupid, if you understand my expression.
Mm-hmm.
I have several Mini-14s, Ruger Mini-14s, uses the same cartridge. Same cartridge as the AR, except it just looks like a regular rifle.
Wow.
Now, if I were to take my Mini-14 and I were to put a stock on there with a pistol grip, that now becomes a evil feature, and now I have just committed a felony.
God. I mean, really? And the people that they're... You know, they make these laws for people who don't know them, for starters, don't care about them, don't follow them. And, I mean, the only people that get jammed on this stuff are regular people like all of us and probably people listening to the show. We're the guys
correct.
Who get jammed. So, you know, it's funny. I used to have this conversation with my mom. I'm like, Ma, they don't make laws for criminals because criminals are criminals because they don't follow them. So these laws, the only people that they ruin their lives are just regular people who might, you know, like shooting guns, and maybe you don't like it, but they don't intend to ever shoot anyone.
No, inadvertently become a felon.
Woo.
Right.
Big sneeze there. We have to take a really quick break here. We'll be right back with our guest, Peter Friedman. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Sometimes I want to light up underneath the no smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing all right. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. 'Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam old Uncle Sam, but I ain't letting you. I'm mad as hell and you know I still bleed red, white, and blue.
Yeah, got to go back to school on all of this for sure. Besides taking classes and that sort of thing, I know that you have quite a bit on your website for people to follow, FriedmanHandgunTraining.com. And I know that would be useful for folks, for people who kind of want to primer on this, or maybe I don't know how to say that. Is there like a cheat sheet available?
The Ten Commandments?
Something.
Well,
or should we just buy all our guns at your house and have you walk us down to the store? I mean, that actually seemed like the fastest way to do it.
I'm going to email this handout to you.
Okay.
That I just put together with these penal code sections on it. And it'll be up on your website, and then I'll put it up on my website as well. One of the things that Bill mentioned here was registering of assault weapons. And this is kind of a little interesting subject, too, that is also nuanced. If you decided that you did not want to take the evil features off of your AR-15 by July 1st of 2018, and you, in fact, did register it as an assault weapon under that law, then that has to be, when you transport it, in a locked container. Now, any other long gun, rifle or shotgun, only the law says has to be cased. So, in other words, you can't have it like in Nevada or Idaho in the back of your truck window, you know, in a gun rack. So if it is a long gun and it's not a registered assault weapon, all it says is it has to be cased. That means in the original cardboard box that it was shipped in, or in a soft side carry case, something like that, so that somebody looking in the car can see or can't see that, in fact, it's a firearm. On the other hand, in the case of a registered assault weapon under that law, the case now has to be a hard case, and it has to be locked, unloaded, just like a concealable handgun.
Hmm.
Okay, now here's another little nuance with the ARs, and I just got rid of my last one. I don't even want to be in the system with one. And right now they're going for a lot of money, so if you bought one 10 years ago and you paid about $400 for it, you can get $1,400 for it today.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, it's worthwhile getting rid of them because God only knows what's going to happen, especially in the state of California. However, if you registered that gun as of July 1st, 2018, as an assault weapon, and you paid the additional tax on it, and now you're in that system as having this particular firearm in your possession, and now you take the evil features off the gun, and now you send a picture of the gun. There's a whole thing with the California DOJ and how to do this. And then you take the evil features off, you send a picture of the gun, and there's a special form on the DOJ Bureau of Firearms website that you have to fill out. And what you're doing is you are de-assault weaponizing this firearm. And you're turning it back into a California-compliant rifle. The problem with that in the state of California is that you can never put those evil features back on the gun. Because what you're doing now is you're re-registering the gun as a simple rifle, not as an assault weapon. So the problem now would be if you decided to hell with California, I'm going to put a pistol grip back on my AR-15, and you get caught with it, having deregistered it, you're now a felon.
If you move to a different state and changed it, could you do that?
If you move to a different state, you're home free.
Okay.
I'm talking about California.
If you stay here.
Yeah, once
you don't spend the $5,500 on the U-Haul.
Yeah, once you deregister that firearm as an assault weapon and make it California compliant, you can never go back to putting evil features on the thing because July 1st, 2018 already has come and gone.
Mm. Now let me ask you this, Peter, if you have a AR-15, you elected not to register it. It was my understanding that as long as you had the barrel removed from the rifle and it was in storage, that's legal.
Okay. Since you brought that up, let me tell you what that law is. When you go to 12276, it states that for definition purposes, it is no longer a firearm if you have separated the upper from the lower. So as long as you don't put the upper and the lower together and it has evil features, okay, you're okay.
Right.
So I got people that I know who are clients of mine who regularly go to Reno and back. And up in Reno, they have, you know, which is part of America, they have an AR-15 with evil features on it. And what they do is they pull with two pins, they disassemble the upper from the lower, and they put them in separate containers in the car. Because under Penal Code 12276, if the rifle, in fact, is disassembled, it no longer meets the definition of a firearm.
Well, if it's disassembled, why do you have to put it in a hard case?
Well, you don't unless it's assembled,
right?
And it was registered in the state of California,
right? Okay.
So as long as the upper and the lower are separate components, they become parts, and they do not meet the definition under the assault weapon requirement as being a firearm, because it can't do anything.
Correct. Yeah, I know a lot of people that did not register because they didn't want that gun in the system as an assault rifle, and they store them disassembled.
Precisely, and you're perfectly legal doing that.
Okay. All right.
Because it doesn't meet the definition of a firearm under the Penal Code. It's not a firearm. You've broken it into parts. You know, but who knows what California may do now?
Yeah. See, that's always the wild card, isn't it?
That's always the wild card, and you never want to become the test case.
It's kind of funny, though. The wild card we never consider is that California regains sanity and all these laws get repealed. That's never actually one of the considerations, which kind of tells you.
We had a shot at it, though, with the Ninth Circuit getting turned around a little bit. You know, I think a lot of people thought maybe we won't be quite so stringent on a lot of this stuff. So I don't know. We'll wait and see.
They're still afraid, though. But they're busy being afraid of the virus. So maybe the virus is good.
Mm.
Maybe if they're more afraid of the virus than they are of firearms, they'll stop making gun laws.
Yeah, could be.
Well, we're killing more people with the virus than we've ever done in any year.
Yeah. Well, I just always challenge people, please look up the statistics on the seasonal flu and how many people that's killed, because every year that kills tons of people. But, you know, for the last winter and this winter, it hasn't killed anybody.
No.
Crazy.
No. Regular flu is
You know
gone.
Something even crazier?
Okay.
Here's Trump, who got COVID. You got Charles Grassley, who got COVID. You
right.
had Rudy, who got COVID. Have you heard of any Democrat lawmakers with COVID? Name one.
I think, didn't...
Anyone?
Didn't Uncle Joe get it?
No, Uncle Joe wore 17 nope. masks.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
No, he wore 17 masks.
Yeah, he broke his foot, though.
I like the little meme that came out that said that, how will we know if the vaccines are working? Will the survival rate go from 99.5% to
99.7%? That's right.
I was like, ooh, strikes Ouch. A little close to home there.
Well, it's like the latest thing going around. Why are we investing in vaccines that are only 90 to 94% effective when the recovery rate is 99.8%?
That's an excellent point. I think you need to send me that in meme form so I can forward that out.
I will do that.
I'm going to require that in meme form. Oh, my gosh. We have to take one last quick break before we get to the top of the hour here with our guest, Peter Friedman. That's our momentary screwing around. When we come back, we'll do actual, you know, hard work here on firearms. Be right back.
I can't do everything, well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone.
Ah, yes. Very upside down. All right, what have we okay. missed in our last 10 minutes,
Aaron,
here?
Aaron, I just sent you by email to your email that cheat sheet on the penal code.
Oh, nice. Okay, I'll post it right now. Right this minute. So we have 10 minutes left. What have we missed besides tons of stuff?
I don't know. We've gone through a whole lot.
We have.
Any other hot home defense things? Because I have to say, I shared the idea of using the red nightlights so as not to disrupt your night vision, and no one said, hey, I've heard that before.
And the cell phone tip was another one I got some feedback on. People didn't know that a deactivated cell phone still works for 911.
Excellent. Yeah, everybody is... usually very surprised at that. What else? Again, I think we talked about landscaping around the house. Make sure that there's no, you know, shrubbery that somebody can hide behind near the garage door or near the front door. You know, one of the things that we didn't talk about that occurred to me was when you come home at night, especially since it gets dark so early now,
mm-hmm.
when you come into your neighborhood, turn on your bright lights and just, you know, light up the neighborhood. You'd be surprised what'll, you know, jump out of a bush or take off on a run. And if you can, learn to back your car into the garage. I think once before I told you the story when we were doing the FBI and the gun in the toilet thing about the neighbor across the street from me. A nice little old lady, and she, during the summer, it was like 95 degrees outside, and she had a side yard, you know, just full of trash and shrubbery and whatever, and couple of guys in an old pickup truck came down the street with a sign on the side that said, "We haul junk." She flagged them down, and she brought them in and put them in the side yard. They cleaned the whole side yard out, and God bless her heart, she invited them into the kitchen for some lemonade.
Oh, boy.
Well, about a day or two later, I came home. It was after dark. It was about 8 o'clock at night, and I noticed that her garage door was up. Now, I've been in this house for 25 years. She has never left the garage door up. The car was gone. It was gone. She had a little gold Honda SUV in there. And so I took my big mag light and walked across the street and lit up the garage. And there's the door that leads into the house from the garage. And I want to go into that for a minute for home defense. The door that led from the garage into the house that comes almost directly into the kitchen. So I'm at that door. It was on a Thursday evening, and I'm knocking on the door to see whether she's home or what. And I hear this, you know, muffled yelling from inside, and I open the door, and there she is, duct taped to a kitchen chair.
Yikes.
Oh, boy.
Well, what happened was these guys obviously came back. They knew that they could scan the code for the garage door. They knew that the garage door was not locked on the inside going into the house, because she would pull into the garage, shut the door, and then she would get out of the car and go in the house. So these two guys came back. They ransacked the place. They duct taped her to the kitchen chair. Ultimately, the cops found her car about six blocks away, parked by the side of the road. So what I tell people is, look, first of all, don't allow strangers into your home. I don't care.
Ever.
You want to give them lemonade, take it out to them. Don't let them walk through your house and see what you've got there. Second thing, learn to come into your neighborhood with the bright lights on a little bit slowly. Don't assume this is that situational awareness thing we talked about, red, yellow, and green. So just, you know, take a look around before you actually pull into the driveway. No funny trucks should be parked across the street in your neighbor's driveway when you know they're out of town and it says TV repair or something on the side of the van, because the bad guys do that all the time. And learn to back your car into the garage if you can, because that way, if you back your car into your garage, and you can go to Home Depot, you can go to Lowe's, Ace Hardware, you can buy bumpers, and they're self-adhesive to the garage floor. So back the car in so that you don't back it up into something, and the garage door is going to close. Put those bumpers under the rear wheels at that point. Back your car in. When you go into the garage, that gives you a clear field of vision outside of the house. Nobody can come slipping in there, you know, as you're closing the door or anything. And if somebody decides to slip in, what do? You hit the gas.
Mm-hmm.
After you put it in drive.
Okay. on your garage door, you have the clicker, right? The remote control.
Yeah.
There are three what are called DIP dip switches. And you can rotate those dip switches if you open up the remote as though you're going to replace the battery in it. And there are three little wheels from 0 to 9. Okay? Make sure that you change those dip switches every now and then, every few months, maybe every quarter, but at least every 6 months. But make sure that whatever you set up in the remote as your code, you have to go to the motor inside the garage, which has the identical dip switches,
right,
and make sure that those codes are the same. Otherwise, the door won't open. The other thing I strongly recommend you do is to put a deadbolt lock in the garage door that leads into the house. Don't leave it open. You can key it to your house key. It's very simple.
Yep.
Okay, Home Depot will be happy to do that for you.
You know, the other thing, too, before you leave the garage door opener, I don't know, it seems like most people don't notice this, but on the button on the wall when you go into the house, One of the choices is lock. And if you hold
that is
down,
correct.
Yeah, you hold down that lock button, and then the light on the big blob that you push to open the garage door flashes, just as a constant flashing, and no one can use a garage door opener, regardless of how it's set up, to get into your garage. So if you do that at night, even somebody who's driving around the neighborhood who, you know, gets lucky and gets your code, they can't open your garage door.
We were this was years ago, we were walking around the neighborhood with the dog, and we stopped a few blocks away. We stopped and we're talking to some folks, and I had our garage door opener in my pocket, and I didn't realize it, but I was just, you know, fiddling with it, pushing the button. I noticed the guy's next door neighbor's door would go up, and then a few minutes later it would go down,
and it's like, what
then
are they
go
doing?
Back up, and we're like, what the heck are they doing? And then it dawned on me, like, I was doing
it. Crap, we're doing it. Everybody was keyed to the factory
settings.
Well,
a lot of people, don't change those factory settings.
But that lock thing at night, it takes a little, you have to kind of get used to it, because at the beginning, what you do is you go out, you open your door, you get in your car, you back out, you push the button, and it won't close because you've locked the code. You have to run back in, push and hold the lock button until the flashing stops, and then... You know, you have to practice. You just got to pay attention. But it's a way more secure garage door situation than we typically have. And it's something easy to do, and all garage doors have it.
Well, you got to remember that all of these garage doors have three dip switches, which gives you a probable combination of 999.
Yeah.
So you keep working at it, but they have scanners. You used to be able to get these scanners at Radio Shack because it's all wireless. And if you can pick up that frequency, you can open garage doors. So, yeah, this is true.
Oh, yeah, because that was kind of a big thing for a while, as people would drive around the neighborhood pressing the button until they saw somebody's door open. And now they have access to your house.
Used to be a game. It's not a game anymore. But definitely put a deadbolt in.
Yes.
Put a deadbolt in on that door that leads into the house from the garage.
Yeah, and use it. I mean, people think like, oh, the garage door's shut. We're fine. But, you know, same rules as last week apply. Somebody walks into your house because you left the door unlocked. Guess what? You get to argue that in court. Thank you so much for being with us. I think we're like in our last like 30 seconds or so. So we always cut people off unceremoniously. Thank you so much for coming on with us. And I wanted to let people know our guest has been Peter Friedman. His website is friedmanhandguntraining.com. He's got a lot of information. We did a show with him last week specifically about home defense. I think you'll like it. There's a lot of good info on the website. You can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. And thank you, Mr. Friedman.
My pleasure always.
Have a great rest of the weekend. Somehow I know it.